Father, Lord, we do thank you for life. Lord, we know life is when we go out into this world and there's roads and over the traffic and everything the way it is, we never know what's going to happen. Lord, we thank you for watching over us. And Lord, we do thank you for the author's testimony today and how he didn't get hurt and where all things will work out. You gave him the opportunity, Lord, to witness to people. We thank you for that. And thank you for bringing us all here today safely. Well, I do pray for Michelle's relative, Lord, and Baxter. I pray, God, for him. Lord, a young man, Lord, who's evidently not living right, not doing right. God, I pray, Lord, you give him a chance. May you send somebody by to see him, to talk to him about you. Lord, I just pray, God, you change his heart, change his life. Lord, I just pray you raise him up. But your will, we commit him to you. We commit the family to you now. Ask you to bless and have your will and way in each heart and each life. Help them, Lord, to look to you, Lord, for the answer and for the need of the hour. Lord, bless your word now as we read it together and we study it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The last week we talked about insecurity, being insecure. All of us in times in life are insecure. Because of circumstances, because of situations in our life, because of different reasons, we all are insecure. And we talked about last week why people are insecure. Why people are insecure. We also talked about the signs of being insecure or insecurity. And we talked about also how insecurity can be destructive. It can become destructive in our lives, in the lives of people. We're living in an imperfect world, are we not? We really are. And you know, these things we're talking about are things we daily face in our life. It's not something we're going to face. We daily face these things in our life. And we need some application from the scripture that we can apply when we're facing situations in our life, circumstances that we, like what the author's talking about, you know, we all go through things like that, days like that. And we need God's help to ever to make it through. So we're talking about living in an imperfect world. Today we're going to talk about overcoming insecurity. Overcoming insecurity in our life. You have a doctor's appointment. It's a routine physical, okay? You go in. The nurse calls you back. She checks your weight. Tells you how much you're overweight. Checks your height. Tells you how much height you lost. You know, you go back into the room, she sets you down, she checks your vital signs, your temperature, your blood pressure, your heart rate, and then she asks you a bunch of questions, you know, and you ask all them questions, and then she says, okay, I'm through, the doctor will be in a few minutes, and 2 hours later, the doctor comes in, you know, and here he is, he looks over the chart that she's just filled out, all the answers to all the questions, and he begins to ponder in his mind what's going on with you. Okay, so he gets this little stethoscope, that thing out, and checks your heart and all this, your pulse and all this, and all of a sudden he got an unusual look on his face. And he says, sir or ma'am, he says, I'm afraid we're going to have to do some further testing. We're going to have to do an EKG and maybe a stress test. Now, how do you feel? You feel like shouting? Not really. You become insecure, don't you? You know, well, when they mention an EKG and a stress test, automatically we think what? Heart. We think heart trouble. So therefore, we begin to get insecure in what's going to take place next in our life. And so we all deal with this. Tomorrow, you may go to work. When you get to work, there may be a note on your door, a note on your desk from your boss man saying, come to my office the first thing today. I need to talk to you. Well, what do you think? What's your first thought? Is it, oh boy, I'm going to get a raise. You know, I've been doing good work, and I know he's going to give me a raise. That's what he's calling me in for. No, it's not necessarily that. Most time, it's a negative thought because we're afraid of losing something. Our job, our health, our life. Most time, we respond negative. Things of this nature in our life. Overcoming these things, overcoming insecurity in our life. We find, first of all, the characteristics of insecurity. First of all, we see, as we looked at defining it, it's worrying about losing what you have. Worrying about losing what you have. Anybody here ever worry? We all do. We worry about losing some things that we have in our life sometimes, don't we? Insecurity is caused by fear. It's caused by the fear of loss, fear of losing something. And we could put a lot of things in there. What happens when we place our sense of value or worth in something that we can lose, then see, we become capable to fear. Capable to fear. Because it's something that's valuable to us. And we don't want to lose it. We don't want to lose it. Now, take your Bibles and turn with me to the book of Genesis chapter 29. I want us to look this morning at an example of insecurity and overcoming it. You know the story in Genesis chapter 29, a story we've all read many times. We find here insecurity in a relationship is a result of fear that the relationship will not last. You know the story of Isaac and Rebekah. They had two boys, Esau and Jacob. Well, the mother, Rebekah, and Jacob deceived Isaac and got the birthright given to Jacob rather than Esau. Well, Esau now is angry with Jacob. He's to the point he's ready to kill him. And so Rebekah decides to send Jacob away. She sends him away out to his uncle Laban. He goes out there in the desert, out in the place, and he sees there are some flocks out there when he gets close to Laban's house. And they're laying around, and there's a rock there at a well. And we find when they move the rock, the flocks come up and get water from the well, and then they lay back down. Well, he was there, and here comes this lady with some flocks to the well. And he finds out this lady is Rachel. We find out is Laban's daughter, the baby daughter. Make a long story short, he goes with her back to Laban's house. Laban puts in the work, gives him the work, and after he labors for about a month, then he comes to him and says, "Listen, you're working for me and I'm going to pay you something. What can I pay you?" Well, Jacob at this time, he's kind of fell in love with one of his daughters named Rachel. And he says, "I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll work for your daughter. I'll pay dowry for her for a certain period of time, and then you know she could be my wife." Well, you know what happened. He worked, he labored, he did, and when it came time for him to get married, we again see here now that Jacob has been deceived by Laban because he gives her Leah rather than Rachel. Leah, the older child. And so we see here what happened here. Jacob was upset. He was very upset what happened. He approached Laban. He said, "Listen, I'll be willing to work now for your other daughter." So he did, and he wound up with both daughters as his wives. He had two wives. And here we are today in this situation. Leah, who was not loved by Jacob, is married. And also, Rachel is with him too also, who he does love. Leah's in a condition that's very unpleasant at this time. And we see here the description of insecurity. We see, first of all, in verse 31 of Genesis chapter 29. Look at verse number 31. "And when the Lord saw that Leah was hated, he opened her womb, but Rachel was barren. And Leah conceived and bare a son, and she called his name Reuben. For she said, 'Surely the Lord had looked upon my affliction. Now therefore my husband will love me.'" We see here Leah has a child. Her first child is Reuben. Reuben means, "See, I have a son." Look in verse number 32, the latter part of that. Look what she says. She says, "Now therefore my husband will love me." Now my husband will love me. Remember, she realizes that Jacob don't really love her, but now she's had a child, and now she says, now he'll love me. I've done something for him, okay? Now he'll love me because I've given him a child. I have given him a child. Leah felt that she had done something to earn his love. She had given him a child. Now he's got to love me. He surely will love me. She satisfies him that she was, that then she was secure. When she satisfied, she gave him a child, and now she's more secure, okay? Because of the love that was not there. We see here, because the Lord hath heard me. Look at verse number, look at now the difficulty of insecurity. Look at verse number 33. And she conceived again and bare a son and said, because the Lord hath heard that I was hated, he hath therefore given me this son, and she called his name Simeon. Simeon means hearing. Hearing. The Lord has heard me. Therefore, I was hated, and the Lord heard me. So God gave me a child to give my husband Jacob again. Sometimes we allow ourselves to be judged by what we do instead of what we are. And that's where Leo is at this time. What I do, I'm judging myself because of what I do. When Leo had her third son, who was Levi, she thought she would be accepted. In verse number 34, look at it. And she conceived again and bare a son and said, now this time will my husband be joined unto me because I have borne him three sons. Therefore was his name called Levi. Levi means attachment. Now will my husband be joined unto me, she says in verse number 34. Sometimes we feel love if we measure up. This is where Leo is. She meets the qualifications. She measures up to what she thinks she ought to be. We feel loved. We feel loved. And here she is in this situation this time. It's kind of like it was when we were growing up, used to go to school. You know, we get these things called report cards. And we come home with report cards, maybe all A's and B's. We felt kind of loved, didn't we? Well, if we get a C or a D or sometimes even an F, we didn't feel too loved, did we? We weren't measured up, so to speak, you know. That's the way it is in life sometimes. You know, you got a good job, you got a good paycheck, you feel loved, don't you? You do. You feel loved, you know? You know, successful. When you're successful, then you're worthy of love. That's the mentality we have. We're worthy of love when we're successful in life. We feel loved if we measure up. I'm so glad that God doesn't look at us that way. I'm so glad he doesn't. You know, if we do our best, God is pleased regardless of the results. If we do our best. If I was to stand here and sing and do my best, it'd be terrible to you. But you know, God would be pleased if I did my best. You know? I never forget Brother Mickles. He said that one time when he was here years ago. You know, he really did. I do my best, they do their best. That's all God expects of us, is to do our best. You know? So we're not trying to measure up. We do feel loved if we measure up. So we find the difficulty in security. We also see the depression. Depression of security. Depression comes from feeling that you must constantly prove yourself. You're on trial every day. You're on trial every day. My, what a life to live. Amen? You feel like you're on trial every day in your life. Here Leah was this way. And she was doing what she could do. She was constantly trying to stay ahead in a competition she could not never win. She was trying to stay ahead, but she couldn't win. She could not win because Jacob loved Rachel. He loved Rachel. Leah kept having children to Jacob, who loved her. She had six sons and one daughter, a lot of children. We see what we must find, what causes us to feel insecure, then find what God says, and then put our faith in him. Whatever it is that makes us insecure. Now notice in verse number 35. And she conceived again and bare a son, and she said, now will I praise the Lord. Therefore she called his name Judah and left bearing. But all we were saying, we have to get to the point, no matter what happens to us, we're going to just praise God anyway. We're going to praise God anyway. You know? Let him have control. You know, he knows our life. He knows what's best for us, doesn't he? No matter what we have to deal with in life, he knows what's best for us, and we just have to commit ourselves to him. So we see here these characteristics of insecurity. Now, number two, I want to look at something else. Look at the causes of insecurity. What causes insecurity? We see there are three basic causes for insecurity in Leo's life and in the life of all of us. Number one is parental rejection. Parental rejection will cause a person to be insecure. We see this in the life of Leah. The way our parents show or fail to show acceptance reaches into our adult lives in a real way. If your parents reached out to you and loved you, well, your life is different from those that the parents did not do that. You feel rejected when your parents don't reach out and love you and accept you the way you are. We see this in Leo's life. Leo had good evidence that her father wanted her out of the house. He didn't want her around. We see also he thought that she would never be chosen to be a bride. That was his thinking towards Leo. Therefore, it brought insecurity even in her life later on, even when she was gone and married and had children. See, Leo never felt she was good enough for her father, or now Jacob, her husband. She had that mentality. She never felt good enough because of parental rejection in her life. We need to remember, what children think of God is based on the picture their parents give them. What children think of God is based upon the picture their parents give them of God. Children learn young, don't they? They learn young. We're doing about 4 or 5 years old. They learn so much. And what they're taught about God during that time is going to play an impact in their lives later on. It's going to impact their lives, the rest of their life. Be honest about it. So we need to realize that insecurity is caused by parental rejection. Parental rejection. Number two, it's caused by the pain of comparison. Comparing yourself. You ever do that? You ever do that? Compare yourself. We see, Leah knew the pain of being compared to her sister and feeling less loved than Rachel. That was a keynote in that family. So Leah did the only thing that she had over her sister. And what was that? She had children. Rachel was barren. So Leah did what she could do to try to overcome this thing of insecurity in her life. Insecurity in her life. We see that we can never do enough to gain love and acceptance that lasts. We can never do enough to gain love and acceptance that lasts in our life. No matter what you do, no matter how much you do, it doesn't last. It doesn't last. We see that in her life. We also see the possibility of loss. See, Leah was afraid of losing her husband, Jacob. She was afraid of losing him. What happens if he kicks me out? No doubt she was thinking about that because he loved Rachel more than he loved her. Because he loved her more, Leah was not secure in her position as a wife. As a wife. Her sons were her only security for her husband's. Deciding to send her away. She was hoping because of all the sons she bore for him that he would not send her away. That was her security, her children at this time. You know the only thing in your life that cannot be taken from you? Really? What is that? Your relationship with God. Anything else in your life, anything in my life can be taken just like that. It can be gone. But my relationship with Jesus Christ is secure. It's built upon Him and nothing else. Nothing else. We see here, this is what happened here. See, when our relationship with God is not as important as it should be, we have to deal with insecurity. We have to deal with insecurity. But when our relationship with God is what it ought to be, no matter what happens in life, we're still secure. We have that security because it's upon Him. It's not upon circumstances and situations in our life that we have to deal with daily. So we see the possibility of loss. Now, we talked about the characteristics of insecurity. We talked about also the causes. Now let's look at something else. The consequences. The consequences of insecurity. What does it bring? There are three ways that insecurity manifests itself. Three ways that it manifests itself. Number one, there is an intense drive to succeed. An intense drive to succeed. Person wants to succeed, they'll do anything they can to succeed when they're insecure. Insecure. No success level or accomplishment will satisfy, though, insecurity. None of those will. See, the problem is not the lack of success. Somebody can be very successful and still be insecure in their life. That doesn't bring security, always. So we see what takes place in someone's life, the consequence of insecurity. Leah felt the pressure to measure up to her sister, Rachel. An intense drive. She was driven to accomplish more than her sister did because she knew she could have children. And she knew that Rachel could not. So she was driving herself to do that, to feel secure. Leah never learned to separate the failure of an activity with the failure of herself in a position. There's a big difference. There's a big difference. When we fail in an activity and we fail ourselves, she never knew how to separate that. She never learned how to separate that in her life. Brother Alford's situation. He didn't plan this. He didn't do that. These activities he went through. But he recognized the fact that these incidents that are taking place in my life today are ordained of God. You know, even though I don't like them, I don't understand them, and because I accept this in my life today, well, it's not going to bother me, myself. You know, I'm going to go on anyhow. I'm going to go ahead and do what I need to do. Sometimes we need to realize that. Inwardly, we remain empty unless we learn the truth of God's love. God's love. God loves us in spite of us. I never understand that, but He does. He loves us in spite of us, no matter what we do. Inwardly, we can remain empty because of that. Only God can fill the void in our life. He does that by His acceptance and His love to you and to me every day. He accepts us. He loves us the way we are, no matter what we have to face. We also see another consequence of insecurity is inadequacy in relating to others, not being able to relate to other people. That's insecurity. Leo and Rachel, point blank, did not get along. Like sometimes sisters don't. They did not get along. We see we are not responsible, though, for the way others treat us. But we are responsible for the way we react to that treatment. We're responsible for the way we react to that treatment. And it's very important. Insecure people frequently turn others against them. They have a way of doing that. They turn people against them. We also see that insecurity often leads people to look for problems even when they don't exist. They'll make up something. They'll make up something. You know, their mind runs wild to try to find something, you know, to bring up that is wrong. Also, we see that insecurity, we find an inability to focus on the blessings of God when we're insecure. We fail to focus on the blessings of God. Insecure people worry about what they don't have, what they might not, what they may not, what they may lose, and also that they're going to be mistreated. That's three things people, insecure people worry about. They worry about what they don't have, what they might lose, or how they've been mistreated in their life. That's a major thing they think about, insecure people do. If they get something, it's not enough. No matter what they get, it's not enough. We see if they lack something, it indicates that the world's unfair. The world's not treating me right. I should have this. I should have this. If someone speaks a kind word, they think, what do they want? What do they want? You know, because they're being nice to me. They're not normally nice to me. What do they want? Insecurity keeps us from realizing how much we've been given. We've been given. Insecurity is a big thing in life. But thank God. Thank God there's a cure for it. There's a cure for insecurity. Let me give you those thoughts very quickly as we close out today. There are four steps to cure insecurity. Four steps to cure insecurity in your life. Number one is understand the purpose of God. Understand the purpose of God. He made you, He made me the way we are because He wanted us to be this way. He wants us to be this way. We're not to be like somebody else. We're to be different. Because God makes all people different. All people different. Dr. Bob Jones Sr. says, success is finding the will of God and doing it. That's an amazing statement. It is. Finding the will of God and doing it in your life. God has fashioned and formed us according to His will and according to His purpose. Every individual in here has been fashioned by God, informed by God. We cannot conquer the feelings of insecurity. We cannot do it ourselves. We have to understand the purpose of God in our life. Security is in understanding not only that God has a purpose for us, but that He has already equipped us to fulfill that purpose, whatever it is in our life. He will equip us for the purpose in our life that He's given to us. Number two, the cure for insecurity is understanding the promise of God. The promise of God. My, what a promise. Turn to Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews 13. We have time to finish this enough. Hebrews 13, verse number 5. Let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with such things as you have. For He has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. We see here the promise of God. As a believer, as a born-again child of God, God will never leave us. He will never leave us. You know, no one else can honestly make that claim. No one. No one else can make that claim but God. Child of mine, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. He's the only one who can say that. God can never be taken away from us. And we can never be taken away from Him. Read Romans chapter 8 and study it. Paul tells us that. He tells us that. See, a understanding of this promise of God will never leave us nor forsake us is very important in our lives and will help us rest secure in these promises if we just understand it. Read it, study it. The true believer has the presence of God in him in this life in death and forever. God's presence, it will be with us all the time, all the time. This is the cure for security, realizing the promises of God, the purpose of God. And number three, the passion of God. You are important not because of who you are, but because of what God has did for you. See, we're all sinners, aren't we? We all deserve to go to hell. We're not important because we're sinners. We're important because God died for us. Jesus died for us. You know, He was buried for us. We're not special because of who we are. We're special because of the price paid to purchase us. The blood of Jesus Christ. My, what a price. My, what a price. There are three things that we people need to know. We people need to know these three things. Number one, we're worse than we think we are. We're just sinners, is all we are. We deserve to go to the lake of fire, all of us. We're worse than we think we are. Number two, even though we're worse than we think we are, we need to acknowledge that God loves us anyway. You know that? He loves us anyway. And number three is, I know how bad I am, and I know God loves me anyway. I know I can't fix it. I can't fix how bad I am, but God can. But God can. And also, God will. God will. Everyone has problems and shortcomings, but God's loving grace can overcome all of them. All of them in our life. We're not going to have time to finish this today, but we'll continue next week on the cure to insecurity. The cure to insecurity. We've talked about the purpose of God and the promise of God. Next week, we'll continue talking about the passion of God and the provision of God. It will help us to overcome insecurity in our life. I'm so glad for God's love, His grace, His mercy, and safe and secure we're in His arms. We're safe from all the storms of life that we had to face. There is a cure for insecurity. Yes, Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father, we rejoice today in your love. We thank you to God for the word of God that you've given us. Lord, to find answers to our questions that we face in life, circumstances and situations that we can't handle. But Lord, we know that you can. We thank you for that today. We thank you for loving us in spite of us. Lord, thank you for fixing us, what was wrong with us, giving us that blessed hope one day being with you throughout eternity. Father, bless these dear people that come faithfully to your house to Sunday school. May your word penetrate in our lives, in my life. May we be different because we've heard from you today. Bless the next hour, Lord. Have your will and way in all the service. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.